Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Cannabis Today podcast. I'm Steve Blank. On this edition of the podcast, Catherine Sidman hosts Philip Northcutt, founder and CEO of Sierra Gold Hemp. Sierra Gold Hemp extracts CBD from naturally grown hemp. They deliver high-grade, whole-plant, full-spectrum CBD products. For more of the Cannabis Today content most relevant to you, visit canna-today.com and filter content by categories like subject, host, location, and more. As always, please rate, review, subscribe, and share. Without further ado, Catherine Sidman and Philip Northcutt, live from the show floor of Concentration 2019 in Pala, California.
Thank you so much for joining me today on the Cannabis Today podcast. I'm Catherine Sidman with Cascade Sciences, and I'm joined by Phil Northcutt. He is with Sierra Gold Hemp, and super excited to have you here at Concentration 2019.
Thanks for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
I know. So you and I are looking out at the exposition floor that is being sucked up into crates as we speak.
We're at
the bitter end of the expo. Have you been here for both days?
Yeah. Actually, I got here Wednesday for CBD Academy.
Okay.
I'm an instructor at CBD Academy, and so
tell me about that, because I saw the emails and the posts about that, but I didn't know exactly what that was.
Basically educating people on, you know, who are coming into the industry that are new to it. And what CBD Academy has done is they've got people like me and other people who are kind of in the industry every day and in the trenches doing it. And they got us talking to people. So, you know, I'm kind of new to CBD Academy, but it seems to be working good. And, you know, there's typically a crowd of 20, 30, 40 people every time. And they're all people who are, they're saying we're coming into the industry or we just started. Mm-hmm. And we're just trying to gather information and learn, because it's a pretty data scarce environment. You know, it's really hard to get reliable data from people. People always want to know, well, what are the numbers really like?
And when you talk about those numbers, you're talking about extraction percentages. Yep. You're talking about moisture content. You're talking about all the different things that people want to know. Sierra Gold Hemp, how old is that company?
So that's tricky. We came from the cannabis side, where we were doing compliance and distribution.
Okay.
A couple years ago, I got out of cannabis completely.
And you got into hemp, which is cannabis. Who's going to tell that hemp is cannabis? I feel like I'm about to change your life.
We have this conversation all the time. And it's because, you know, the hemp industry.
We're not allowed to say marijuana. Let's just talk about what a pain in the butt this is.
I know.
We're not allowed to say marijuana because suddenly now I'm a racist.
We're
piece
fighting
of crap,
bias. Okay. Right. Yeah.
And I can't. And if I call it cannabis. So I had someone on who said that there's four kinds there. And we just say seed, food. Bearing cultivar, resin bearing cultivar, fiber bearing cultivar, industrial cultivar.
Well,
it's crazy.
In my vision for the future, we only have one cannabis industry.
Oh.
And I think it's going to get there, but until then, we're going to deny each other's love, so to speak.
Oh,
you know?
Because
when I'm out there dealing with, you know, county supervisors, politicians, law enforcement officers, mm-hmm. code compliance people, mm-hmm. bankers, we're like, we are not marijuana.
Right.
And it sucks to say that, but that's kind of the reality of how we have to go through the world.
Do you have any trouble as Sierra? Can Sierra Gold Hemp have a checking account?
Yes. Well, so this is tricky because we went to Bank of America right after the Farm Bill and said, we're a hemp company. And they said, well, it turns out our attorneys say you guys are just agriculture. Well, right now, Bank of America is starting to shut down our accounts. So we are now looking to other banking options, credit unions, Nevada-based banks, folks, you know, Washington, Colorado, Oregon-based banks that are more friendly towards cannabis. It's funny. We've been running away from that industry, and now we're sort of maybe taking shelter under the industry, you know?
Exactly. You know, even as an ancillary equipment supplier, Cascade has trouble with banking.
So
I'm the vice president of sales at Cascade. Somebody does a LinkedIn audit and sees that I'm here at the Concentration 2019 conference. Boom.
That's it.
You know, and we sell picks and shovels.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Nothing touches the plant. Nothing's green.
Right.
Nothing at all. So it's still so complicated.
Yeah. One of my bankers told me, and he's a good friend of mine. He basically said, look, it kind of depends on where the money comes from. Even though the guy you receive a wire from, that entity may be totally above board. If he got that $100,000 or $250,000 from someone else, and that's a cannabis company, mm-hmm. when they audit it, mm-hmm. they could just shut you down.
You know what makes me crazy? When I hear about huge mergers and New York Stock Exchange and whatever, and I'm like, there was an $80 million merger. Like, how many wheelie suitcases did that take with all that cash? Because brother can't have a checking account, can he?
Right.
But he does because, you know... cannabis,
but the right players are in it, so they overlook it. There's a lot of that.
There is a lot of that. There is a lot of that. So, as the name implies, Sierra Gold Hemp. Mm-hmm. Are you here in California?
No, we started in California, in Nevada County, Nevada City, the Grass Valley area, in the marijuana business, cannabis, THC cannabis, right?
Okay, okay.
It's kind of... It's like we're in the safety tree here.
Yeah, so. That's right. We're allowed on the Cannabis Today podcast. You're allowed to say marijuana in order to be clear without being called a racist. That's a rule that I made early on. We're allowed to use words, and we're not afraid of them.
It's interesting how the language is changing, though, and how it's going to change. And, you know, like I said, when the states say we have two bureaucracies for what is essentially the same plant, you know, when the margins...
Because states hate bureaucracy.
They want to consolidate everything, right? But so if they, you know, if they're able to say, well, you know, the margins have come down here, the taxes aren't that high, it's not worth it for us to have a separate entity. Mm-hmm. The same thing's going to happen over here. They're going to go, let's just combine them. We'll throw them all under one roof and it'll just be agriculture. You know, are you growing THC cannabis or are you growing CBD cannabis?
It's always been strange, though, but there's always been that weird dichotomy in cannabis. You know, is this medical or is it recreational?
Right.
I mean, when I buy two bottles of wine at the grocery store, I don't say, oh, this one is, I'm only having a glass a day for my antioxidants. This one, I'm just going to drink that.
Right. This is my party
I'm
gonna bottle.
I'm going to chug this one. Tax me differently. Yeah. I mean, it's a very silly, silly sort of dichotomy.
Not to mention the fact that even if you are using it recreationally, that I mean, you're getting medical benefits.
Well, and Gray Wolf, J.D. Ellis said, and I love it, cannabis is such good medicine that some people just take it for the side effects.
Right.
So good stuff. So tell me about Sierra Gold Hemp. I was told that you're one of the largest extractors.
We are maybe one of the larger extractors. I don't know if we're the largest. People have told us that a few times. You know, there's not a lot of other people doing what we're doing.
What are you doing?
This side of the Rockies. Well, you know, we're vertically integrated. I know everybody throws that term around, but we basically start with the seed and we go all the way to sale.
So you're cultivating?
No. Okay. So this is tricky.
Okay.
Because I say we don't cultivate because we don't grow our own biomass, but we do provide the seed for the farmer
who
then grows it.
So you're contract growing.
Right, exactly. Okay. Because we're cultivators. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we had a cultivation failure in 2017. And, you know, that taught us, okay, wait a second. We know how to cultivate this plant, right? But when we go to scale it up, we're going to encounter some problems. Is it better for us to try to learn what those problems are, or to hand that over to someone who's already got the equipment, the logistical infrastructure, the knowledge to scale up?
Sure.
Because what we saw is you got guys like me. Oh, I've been growing cannabis for 30 years. I could grow anything. Mm-hmm. And then you got a guy who's like, I've been growing alfalfa for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I can grow anything.
Right.
They both fail.
Yeah, yeah.
But when those two cultures come together and they share information, that's where we're seeing the highest probability of success.
Because it is, it is monocropping. I mean, it's a different hemp is different than cannabis, marijuana, right?
Even the hemps are different.
Differently. Yes.
Canadian hemp, the way they grow their hemp is different than the way we grow our hemp.
Right.
Because they're growing it for grain and fiber. We're growing for CBD.
Mm-hmm.
And where we've seen people even just consult the Canadians, and the Canadians say, well, this is how we do it. We're planting them 6 or 8 inches apart and we do 20 to 40,000 seeds an acre.
Yeah.
They're failing because the CBD plant, it's a different shape and size.
It's a tree.
It's right. As opposed to like a bamboo shoot. Right.
Well, and that's fascinating too, because the cultivar difference between a fiber or seed producing, you know, the plant only has so much energy to give.
Right.
So what am I using my energy for? Am I using it for resin production? Am I using it for seed production? Because you can't have everything.
Right.
Because it's a limited.
Or real tall stalks.
Straight, long stalks, right, without a lot of branching. So you have
all
those
cannabis
long
sativa.
Fiber. All good stuff. So tell me, do you have one manufacturing facility or more than one?
That's a trick question.
It wasn't meant to be.
So far,
everything I've asked is a trick question. I'm not even trying.
Well, you know, this is the thing, too. I think that it's really hard to give super solid answers on everything in the industry, and everybody's looking for a real simple answer to all their questions.
Yes.
But things are so fluid right now, and they're moving so quickly. What we found is what was true for us 6 months ago is not true today. And so... You know, like we had another lab down in Pahrump, Nevada, and then we opened another lab in Lovelock, and we are working on opening another lab in Wisconsin. You know, and they're all in various different stages. Our lab in Pahrump was an ethanol extraction mm-hmm. facility, and now we're converting it to distillation. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, and then the one in Lovelock is primarily focused on crude, but now we're producing distillate there as well mm-hmm. while mm-hmm. trying to increase our crude throughput.
How many, can you tell me how many pounds of biomass you go through in a month, in a week, in a
day? Like 1,500 pounds a day.
1,500 pounds a day.
Yeah.
So how much of your facility is material handling?
So I would say, you know, processing the raw hemp uses more space than turning the hemp into oil.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so as you get further along in the process, you use less and less space and it gets cleaner and cleaner.
You're right. When you're working with oil and you can have what was a metric ton
right.
now conveniently in
a
jug.
You got a dust free environment that's HEPA filtered
with hair nets and beard
yeah,
nets
exactly.
and handlebar mustache nets.
So, you know, the biomass, converting biomass into crude oil is a really messy process.
Yeah.
I mean, there's dust everywhere and mm-hmm. it's really hard to contain. So, mm-hmm. you know, our distillation facility is in a separate building than our extraction facility.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of that, you know, that dust gets on your clothes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people have to wear Tyvek suits and glasses mm-hmm. and respirators
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So how much of Sierra Gold hemp products are you selling finished goods? Are you
not
selling
a lot? So we do have a retail line called Recovery,
mm-hmm.
But I would say 95% of our business is lab to lab.
Mm-hmm.
We sell to the guys who are making distillate, making isolate, and putting mm-hmm. those, you know, they're selling it to other people who are putting it into bottles and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, where we excel at is we just make a very, very clean oil.
Mm-hmm.
We filter the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we learned we had to do to make a really high grade product mm-hmm. was just filter, over filter. You basically over filter it mm-hmm. so that when the solute you get going into your recovery unit is so clean that, you know, your recovery unit doesn't have to work as hard. And that's sort of mm-hmm. our strategy is that every step of the way, you try to make step one easier on the equipment and step two, which mm-hmm. is easier on the equipment in step three.
Mm-hmm.
So that our filters, mm-hmm. we do settling and racking so that mm-hmm. our filters don't have to do a lot of work.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
the filtration media is very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
On one of our 16-inch four-module filters, it's like $1,200 every time we replace the filter.
Wow.
You don't want to do that every single day.
No.
But you could have to do that every hour if you don't do the right kind of settling and racking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're taking a hit maybe on time and throughput.
It takes 24 hours to settle
right.
it.
But,
yeah.
But now that you have that in your process,
right.
it's okay because it's not a bottleneck anymore. It's just part
That's
of the process.
Right. Well, when
right?
I initially initiated that step in the process, you know, some of the lab techs and managers and people got upset because they're like, I'm like, we're going to stop making oil for one day so that we can get ahead of the machine on solute
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so that we can let it settle.
Right.
And everyone, they lost their minds. You know,
right.
oh, we lose $80,000 a day.
Yeah.
But if we do it this way, we're going to save a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah. Where do you come from? What is your background?
Well, I'm a native Californian and I come from the cannabis industry. I mean,
okay.
I grew up, you know, my job in high school, I used to drive cars across the border. I hope that I've exceeded my statute of limitations
which border?
Yeah, the southern border.
Oh, the southern That's border, right. because there were lots of other borders for California that people are driving trucks across with cannabis.
Right. Well, I went to high school in Long Beach. I went to mm-hmm. Long Beach Polytechnic.
Mm-hmm.
And on the weekends, I had some friends from Mexico who mm-hmm. I went to school with. And mm-hmm. they'd have me go down and drive cars of
yeah.
weed across the border,
right.
you know. And, of course, I was selling Mexican, you know,
Mexican
bricks of
brick
Mexican
weed,
brickweed.
You know,
yeah,
yeah,
you know, I'd get it for like $50 for a brick
uh-huh.
and break it up and, you know, and yeah, that's kind of how a lot of us got our start like
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and so that's where I come from, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's my culture, my people. So
mm-hmm.
I've seen the industry come a long way and I'm very excited about how, you know, regulation has affected us and, you know, legalization too, although it's a double-edged sword. We've seen a lot of stuff that is really heartbreaking and legalization, because I think we've lost a lot of our niche farmers, our small players in the field. they just couldn't afford the compliance. They couldn't handle the complexity of modern business. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so they got pushed out of the industry. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that's really tragic because, you know, those craftspeople got us to where we are.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, in California, we call those equity holders, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. On the flip side, though, you know, I have seen cannabis dried in the dirtiest, dustiest barns and trimmed in the most unpleasant places, right?
By some unpleasant people, I'm just going to
say.
Yeah,
no, you're right. You're right. And so I think, you know, the transition is good. I wish we had done it in a way that would have protected some of the smaller people in the business.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't
give it
know
a lot
either.
Of thought, and I don't know. You know, California is working really hard right now to sort of manufacture equity.
Right.
And I think anytime you need a committee to look backwards to sort of artificially make a level playing field,
right.
Somebody's going to be screwed. I don't know who it is, but you can't, but it never works out
right.
Well. I don't know when we've done it that it's really effective.
Because how do you pick those people and who qualifies?
And then you get to the point where you select people that are so capable that maybe they would have been capable anyway. And so have you done anything about equity at all?
Right, you know? You know, but like I spent a year in prison for cultivating.
Okay.
So I'm a bona fide equity holder.
Yeah.
But I'm not pursuing anything in cannabis right now. So there's really no advantage for me to be an equity holder other than bragging rights. Right.
Right.
But, you know, as someone who's, you know, I've done hard time for cultivating, I know that there are other people who are still imprisoned.
Absolutely.
You know, there are other people who still have felony records.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about and moving in the right direction, but it could probably happen a little faster.
I think that needs to be something that as people benefiting from the cannabis industry, and I feel like such a latecomer, right? I was just slinging gear. I was selling vacuum ovens, minding my own business to pharmaceutical and aerospace, and y'all came and got me. But now that's 8-9 years ago.
Wow.
And you know, we're good actors in the space.
Yeah.
And Ed Rosenthal said cannabis isn't addictive, but cannabis activism is.
Yes.
And I got that bug so hard so fast. And just what an industry to be a part of.
And we have one of your Cascade ovens, by the way.
Oh, made in Cascade.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'm not a paid spokesperson, but we love it.
I love that. And I feel like it's my job to say at every one of these conferences, for every person who's here in their, you know, flat front khaki pants, making money,
right,
paying their bills on cannabis,
mm-hmm,
there's, I don't know, 20 people in prison or more than
That's
that.
Right.
I don't know what the numbers are, but I know that we need to have those serious conversations. This is something that was probably so obvious to other people, but somebody said it and it just turned the light on for me. Instead of legalization, decriminalization. What about that?
This is the big thing, okay? Everyone thought they wanted legalization.
Yes.
But they didn't know the difference between legalization and decriminalization. We're not attorneys, right?
No.
So, you know, I always say it's like the DMV manual.
Mm-hmm.
That's what legalization looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because next to every line in the manual is a fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
called legalization.
Yes.
Decriminalization is where it just isn't in a book.
Yeah.
And the government doesn't
yeah.
have a fine system
right.
for everything you
right.
do wrong.
Right.
It's not a revenue generator.
Right.
Legalization is a revenue generator for the government.
Absolutely.
That's why
and
they
so
do
now
it.
We're back to the prison industrial complex. Now we're back to
yeah.
all of that. And this industry is part of it. And I know that you can be extremely successful in this industry and not give a rip about
yep.
small boutique farmers, not give
yeah.
a rip about the Emerald Triangle, not give a rip about people that are wasting away in prison, about the war on drugs, about the opioid addiction, about accessibility. I know that you cannot care about that and be successful in this industry.
Yep.
But gosh, I hope and I'm pulling for the folks who, without taking anything away from their day jobs,
right.
can still advocate for these other things and be a voice.
I feel like this industry, maybe more than many others, we are a more conscious crowd. We
mm-hmm.
we are discussing this stuff. But of course, we are getting big money in from high above that's coming in and just
or
dumping
deep
below,
into.
Yeah,
you
right.
pick.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it's just pouring into
mm-hmm,
the industries
mm-hmm.
and we don't know where it's coming from or who they are, and people don't care. You know, I mean, there's there are a lot of people, you know, and they've been building businesses in the industry that are, you know, ancillary businesses or service businesses, and they're just stoked that the, you know, the industry and the market is doing better and better.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, what about where we come from as an industry?
Yeah.
So, and it may take time. You know, I think there was a time when people were just scared, so they didn't want to talk about any of the political stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to be singled out.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the industry stabilizing, and I think we'll see federal legalization as a real issue in this next election for the first time.
Okay,
I think it's coming because whoever embraces that is going to be the victor.
Do you know what I was saying years ago? I'm not always right when I prognosticate, but doggone it, when I am, I like to remind people about it. But, you know, 8 years ago, I was saying this needs to be a Republican issue. Republicans should jump on this. States' rights, smaller government, new taxes no effect on current taxpayers.
Yep.
Liberty, you know, personal responsibility, personal choice.
It seems like it should be a no-brainer Republican cause.
It seems like it should
cause,
be an absolute, and you know, Republicans, and I'm, you know, I'm team Jesus, so we get our panties all in a bunch about things that, I know, Jesus didn't get his panties in a bunch about.
Not much,
that's
did
a different, he?
He
didn't. No, you know what he got his panties in a bunch about? He got his panties in a bunch about people in power taking advantage of disadvantaged people, whether it's people in power in the church. Those were the people he reserved his most caustic comments for, were people who were using religion to hurt weakened people.
That's right.
And government, and government using their power. So, you know,
sounds like a cool dude.
He was awesome.
Right?
So awesome.
You know, I always tell people, you only got to read the red words in the Bible.
That's
if
right.
if you really want to know,
those
because the message is be cool. Be a cool neighbor, be a cool friend, be a cool human being.
Not just be cool. But, okay, be cool to people you like, but if there's somebody that you hate who's your enemy, you don't just have to be cool. You have to sacrificially love that guy.
Yeah.
You have to, like, wash their feet with your hair.
This
I
is,
mean,
yep.
it's be cool, but it's a job.
This is a principle I try to live by.
Yes.
And some of my friends, you know, they give me some shit for
it.
Because I do what's called instant forgiveness. Right? You cannot hold grudges against people who do you wrong because you carry that. Mm-hmm. It's not them carrying it for you.
No, unforgiveness. I read on a reader board sign that some church put up. Unforgiveness is taking poison every day and waiting for your enemy to die.
That's right. Yeah.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah.
I feel you and I could talk for a long time.
I know,
but they've shut the lights
off. I know, right?
Everybody's packing up. I think it's just you, me, and Paul, the sound engineer.
Some workers
left.
Moving crates out of here.
I want to know how people can connect with you. So if I am a farmer and I want to grow for you, if I am a formulator and I want to buy your products, I want to know how people can connect with Sierra Gold
Hemp. We're super easy to find because, I mean, if you Google Sierra Gold Hemp, you'll see us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instagram?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Facebook. I mean, if you're reading around the hemp business, you should probably run into us somewhere online.
And you said that you have a product called Recover.
Yeah, we have a retail product called Recovery, and that's recoverybotanicals.com.
Recoverybotanicals.com.
Yep. And that's, you know, I take a crude oil, and that's, we don't have any isolate products, and that's not, I'm not dogging isolate, but I really feel like, you know, this entourage effect that we all know about, it's a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the patients who are using these products are coming back and telling us, you know, my kid had these seizures and now he doesn't. My kid, you know, he was having this problem or my dad was having this problem and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, why? They ask us why. How come? We've used all these different products and this one worked. And every time it's a crude oil. And we go, well, that's because it's still got everything in it. That's kind of what we tell them, you know, so that, you know, I say it's like a jet airplane in the sky. There's a lot of systems that keep that airplane in flight, and it's hard to tell which one's really keeping it in flight. You can start to pull the systems. You can pull most of the systems.
Right, sure.
The plane will still stay in the air.
Sure.
At some point, you pull one too many systems,
right.
And you're not flying anymore. You're falling.
Well, and you could be flying a plane, and you could have pulled, you know, the pressurized cabin, the air, everything else, and you just have a plane full of people that are passed out.
That's right. That happened.
I mean?
That actually happened.
It actually did happen. Yeah. And so, you know, there are all those systems, and you know, there's the ones that are essential for flying, but then there's the ones essential for life and to keep it going.
And we don't understand all those systems yet.
No, we don't
so,
have a
so
clue.
So that's to me why it doesn't make sense to start pulling them out before we even know what they do, you know?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, Concentration 2019.
We just closed it down, didn't we?
We did. We just shut it down. We shut it down. Phil Northcutt from Sierra Gold Hemp, thank you so much for being here. And I'm sure we're going to see each other
again. It was a huge pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Conversation, connect with us on social media. If you're in the LA area later this month, join us at the Cannabis World Congress and Business Exposition at the Los Angeles Convention Center, September 26th through 28th. For details on exhibitors, conference schedules, and more, visit cannabismeansbusiness.com. Use promo code CANNATODAY19 at checkout and save 20% on your 3-day Super Saver Pass. Thanks again for listening to the Cannabis Today podcast.